Trevor talks about her own blended families, past and present. My dad's mother died when he was 11 years old. He was the oldest of four siblings, with the youngest being just two. The family never spoke of it. They were an Irish Catholic brood back in the 1940s, when more young mothers than today were dying in childbirth or female diseases. When they left young ones behind, the drill was for the father to find a new mother for his children. My father, his brother, and two sisters were told to go across the street and stay for a few days. The funeral happened, and after that, they went back home and were told never to speak of it again. My grandfather remarried, thinking that he was giving his children a loving woman to care for them. She turned out to be mean-spirited. On his deathbed, my father said that one of the worst things about growing up involved Frank, his stepbrother. My father's stepmother made sure that Frank got his orange juice and a newspaper delivered to his room every morning. For everyone else, the rules were different. All day long. As an aftermath to this already bad story, Frank ran off with my Uncle Tommy's first wife, and she took the kids. In other words, he ran off with his stepbrother's wife and two children. This didn't taint my view of blended families, because I didn't even know how awful my father's life was until after I had a blended family of my own. I had a few years of the single life after earning my MBA, and then met and married a divorced man with two young children. Abruptly, I went from a self-focused Sex and the City life to an other-focused world of instant mom. It also didn't take long until I was both a stepmom and a biological mom. It was at that point I realized something important for every parent who undertakes blending families. As rich, intimate, and wonderful as the bond between a step-parent and child can be, it differs in fundamental, animal ways from the relationship with biological children. We can decide to care for, and may even come to love, another person's children, but nature gives us a relationship with our biological children that has nothing to do with decisions. I realized this acutely when my first child was an infant. She smelled like flowers to me. It was a lovely, enticing smell. When I held her and I had a stepchild on my lap at the same time, I was struck by the difference in smell between the two of them. Biology gives us certain triggers so that we want to be near our children. This kind of response has clear advantages for any species, since the urge for a mother to stay close to her young helps protect against predators. It occurred to me when I noticed the difference in smell that, since I wasn't experiencing the biological cues telling me to be close to my stepchildren, I had to make a conscious decision to put myself there. I had to develop a level of sensitivity to their needs because it wasn't coming naturally to me. For a taste of how our family blended, or at least my husband's two children and our two children came together forever, listen to the short essay that my biological daughter, Olivia, wrote about her half-sister, Michelle. It's inserted at the end of the chapter on preteens and before the one on teens, because Olivia is recalling an event that occurred when she was 10 and Michelle was 16. Michelle and her brother Spencer have been a part of my life throughout my biological children's lives, nonstop, no matter what happened between their father and me. When Olivia turned 16 and she was allowed to take one friend on a special trip, the one friend she chose was Michelle.